Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanitz, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you, my friends, here on a Wednesday with you. Amen. Amen. We're here. We're doing things live, trying to get you involved, trying to get you to hear what we've been talking about. Today's show is going to be awesome. We're going to have Pastor Mike Salazar come on in a few minutes. We're going to do a quick talk about some things and try and get you up to date where we're at and what we're doing in ministry. And then we're going to be able to see some cool things coming up. Some cool things that are going to come up. Right now, our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Okay, I'm just trying to get everything turned on. I hope y'all can hear me fine. And we're trying to get everything rolling. I am signing into or logging into my Shantango account. And what that is it's a live chat. So if you're listening to any of our broadcasts on any of our stations and our websites, you'll see either see it in the browser or down below at the bottom of the page that you're looking at and that you're hearing the broadcast from. And you'll be able to log in a chat with me. I am here. I am on it. And it's up and going. You need to visit our archives at revmedianetwork.com, our host page. If you miss one of our shows that broadcasts regularly live here Monday through Friday at 2 o'clock Central Standard Time, then you're going to end up missing something awesome, but you got another chance to listen to it. We rebroadcast at 11 o'clock in the evening, or rebroadcast at 11 in the afternoon. So today's broadcast, we'll broadcast tonight at 11 o'clock again. It will be a rebroadcast, and then Our show will also rebroadcast in the morning at 11 o'clock. So those two things, those two opportunities are there. But there's also the archive. If you can't wait, if you just gotta listen to it, well, I guess you can. And you can do that at our host page. And when you go into our website, you'll see up there in the tabs, it'll have our host. And you click on that. Look at my beautiful picture. Click on that, or click on the bio underneath me. And then when you get into the biography part and all that stuff, you look towards the bottom. It says archives of media's weekly shows. And those are all the dates. Some of the dates, the first couple of dates, don't have much of the description of the shows. They're part of our first shows that we're putting together on the station. So I really don't know what the subject matter is. I got to go back in there and listen. It was good. I mean, it broadcast it. It was good. So, but the other thing is, I don't know exactly where guests we had those days either. I have to listen to those shows. But the other ones, the other shows that are there will have the dates, have the topic, at least if it's a relationship day, if it's a leadership day, if it was an outreach missions day, or if it was a faith day, it'll have it there. So, and it'll also have, if we had a guest, the name will be there. So if you're looking for your pastor or your minister friend that was on our program, just look for their name on our archives under my picture, under my bio. You'll see that. Rev Media Network, just want to let you know that we just hit over 13,000 hits this month. Last month we were at 7,500, and we are almost going to double that. That'll be awesome. Next 3 days we can double that. We can get up to another 2,000, 3,000 hits. And our viewing pages, people going through and thumbing through our pages, that they're actually not only getting the station on their search engines, but they're also able to thumb through the pages. We're up at 4,500, almost 5,000. So that's good. So that's half of everything that pops up on your computer screen. Those people that are viewing out there, looking for content, looking for content about God, looking about content about live talk radio, looking for content about Christian talk. Those people out there are actually able, they're actually able to find our station, 12,000 hits, and over 4,000, 5,000 people actually getting on those pages. We have an average of 1,000 listeners at any given time during the day, and that's awesome. That is awesome. I keep seeing the bandwidth grow, and that is a blessing. I keep seeing the shows being downloaded. They go into the archive, so people are navigating pretty good, and that's awesome. If you want your pastor to be on our show, why don't you go ahead and send us an email. You can email me at david@revmedianetwork.com. If your pastor wants to talk to me directly, you can go to our contact page on Rev Media Network or on Revelation Ministries, revministries.com, and you can contact us by clicking on the little icon that says call. It'll ask you for your phone number and dial you first, and then dial me directly. It won't cost you a cent. That's just the way it ties into the phone system, so you can get a hold of us, and it's a blessing. Amen. Well, our best website to get our archives, if you want to find, here's some of the shows that have been airing for the last 2.5 months. If you go to midwatchwiththerev.com, survivorsbyfaith.com, and if you go to relationshipseries.com. Those are where those shows are going to keep playing at, because we're putting new shows on the program. Everything that's being aired now and from now on is going to be the new shows that we're downloading from our friends' sites that are broadcasting with us. Dana Smith, he's broadcasting, and he does 6 hours of shows every week, and we're rebroadcasting his shows as well. You may hear his commercial and promo on the station. I'm telling you to tune in at 8 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursday nights and Saturday nights, Central Standard Time, till 10 o'clock. It's an awesome show, and it's bringing us a lot of listeners. So we're going to keep re-airing his shows. We're re-airing Charles Mellett's shows, and he broadcasts at 8 o'clock at night and on Friday nights and Sunday nights, Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock Central Standard Time. So, and they're going to be broadcasting those, and I'm broadcasting my pastor's sermons, and we're broadcasting some of my sermons, but a lot of Midwatch with the Rev. So any of the older stuff that you've been hearing that may have had the old address, we purposely have put them on our other websites. They've been there. So if you want to look for those, you can go to those sites as well. Today's talk is about leadership. It's our day of leadership. So we're going to have a guest caller in a little bit, but I want you to remember what we have here. Anytime we're talking about leadership, and there's something that I want you to remember, I'm going to hit this little button. And that little button didn't sound a thing. I bet you didn't hear anything. We'll do it again. We're going to hit this little button. There we go. That's a little bit better. Let me see if I can get the volume working so you can hear the sound effects and the infomercials better. I'm going to pick that all the way up. Okay. That's going to work. Okay, well, God bless you. Last week we talked on leadership, and when we talked on it, we were talking about submission. I think the biggest part of leadership is the submission part, because if you can't submit, then you can't lead. It's a part of discipling. So last week we talked about it. We had a lot of good questions. We had a lot of good follow-up. A lot of people were asking us to do another show on it. A lot of people contacted even Pastor Mike and told him it would sound like a great show. So I want you to know this, and I want you to know that we're going to commit to leadership on Wednesdays for the next month. Coming up in August, we're going to do it the whole month. Pastor Mike is going to be our guest throughout that, and today he's going to do a longer segment with us, which we're going to try and get some of his teaching on the air with y'all. And we're going to keep a lot of Q&A, a lot of questions and answers, okay? I think that you have to base leadership off of one thing, and that is our relationship with God. The whole entire love God had for us was built on one particular thing, and that was a father's love for his children. We have to fit into that mold. I think a lot of us tend to forget that there was always a father that loved his children that brought him to the Lord. And the same mold is being built in the churches. God has put men of God that can be fatherly figures, men of God that be authority figures in your life. So when we start running, we're running away from our destiny, because he is trying to give us the instruction to get to our destiny. Does that make any sense? What is leadership, my friends? What is it to you? A lot of people tend to leave churches once it comes down to having to submit to leadership. So the best word is, I think I was talking to Pastor Mike last night, and I said a lot of people are wanting position but not submission. Can you remember that? Wanting position but not submission. A lot of people leave a church rather than yield. The other day I told you, if a man cannot rule his spirit, he's like a city without walls and with no protection. That was in Proverbs 25:28. And I think it's the same thing with our spirit. If we can't rule it, if we can't tell ourselves, you got to sit, you got to listen, you got to hold off. God could give you the most exciting vision out there. But if you haven't yielded yourself, if you haven't put yourself available to be taught, I then believe Pastor Mike mentioned that last week, and we're going to ask him some more questions on it. But you have to be teachable, and you have to be available, was the two things he had to say about what makes a good person into leadership. But I like to say you have to be reachable. There's something in you as well that has to be reachable. In other words, you got to be able to be communicated to in your heart. You can't shut it down. God has called you to great things, my friend. The way I know that, the Bible says Jesus said it, greater things that you will do than I have. You will do greater things than I. And it's the truth. It's the truth. You have to be able to know that old song. You got to know when to hold it and know when to fold it. Now get this, my friends. Leadership. Now, I wrote this down for you specifically. Not many of us can say we like to be corrected. But we need to stop thinking of correction as something bad, but rather that it's molding us with what we need to be. Sound better when I was writing it, but let me try it again. Not many of us can say we like to be corrected, but we need to stop thinking of correction. We need to stop thinking of it as correction, but molding is when we begin to grow, begin to really grow. Hey, that sounded a lot better. Your pastor, your leaders that are in front of you are not there to dictate and become dictators over you, but they're there to mold you and to build you. God has not released dictators. Amen. But God has released mentors and builders for God. Do you believe you're called into His purpose? Yesterday's show we shared, everything works for good for the that love the Lord that are called according to His purpose. Then you're going to have to trust God. If you trust God, whom you can't see, my friends, you're going to have to trust those that are around you who know God well that can help you. Amen. We're going to play a quick infomercial about our ministry right before our phone call comes in. Coming on next segment. God bless.
Have you ever felt that you let God down in the way you handled your dating or marriage relationships? How about the deja vu feeling that you've had the same bad experience before, but you can't help repeating what you know doesn't work? Emotions about our relationships are constantly shifting from highs to lows. If we know that we are not in the right relationship, we still try to convince ourselves of our partner otherwise. Sometimes that convincing leads us away from God, Christian friends, family, and the church. Does this describe you? And if it does, do you ever wonder if all your rationalizations and poor choices have exceeded the limits of God's patience with you so that you are almost out of grace? If so, my friends, I have written this book for you. The title of my new book is Almost Out of Grace. This book will be a blessing in your life. You can pick this book up anywhere books are sold. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere books are sold. You can also pick it up at my website, RevMinistries.com, for $12. Also, AlmostOutOfGrace.com, you can go there, and there's a link there as well to purchase the book. If you want to preview the chapters, if you want to know more about the book, or why I wrote the book.
Well, Carl's coming in early, so we're going to go and take that. You're on the air. This is David.
David, how you doing? This is Mike Salazar.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing, Pastor?
Oh, doing great. Doing great. Glad to be here today with you.
Oh, man. I've been talking and just letting everybody know you're going to be calling in, so We've got a great show in store. I Twittered, I Facebooked, I let everybody know as much as I could that, hey, Mike's going to be on this show. Come and listen.
That is wonderful, man.
Oh, man. We've been talking a little bit about last week's show and a little bit about how we're talking about being teachable and being available. I put something else in as well. I put being reachable.
There you go.
I think that people need to be able to be talked to.
We
shut down a lot of times when we don't hear something that we liked. We tend to shut down. What do you think about that, Pastor?
I believe that in that, you know, David, that is definitely that could be a whole nother session with you. I think that sometimes that, you know, we become an island unto ourselves. You know, where we don't want to be reached. We don't want to be spoken to. And I even think some of the epidemic today, you know, with anything, there is good and bad to it. You know, like with Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, all of these social networks that are out there today, you know, you see that today people rather hide behind a PC or a laptop when they talk to somebody and not remain accessible. And I think that's important that, you know, one of the most critical elements, I think, of a leader is that you are accessible to leaders, to other leaders as well, mentors, and that there's, you know, there's some form of tutorial going on in you on leadership. And so I think it's real key. It's very critical that we don't end up like an island just kind of out there by themselves because, you know, one thing that I do know is that when a person, you know, finds himself alone, that's never a good place to be in. You know, where they don't, you know, where they don't have to hear anybody else's voice, any other form of authority or any other form of leadership in them, because anything that's left alone for too long can get weird.
No kidding. That's where a lot of these other religions were born. People alone with the Bible and not getting clear direction.
You got it. You know, I think that, you know, that's where we, when God, you know, created the body, you know, we were meant to work together and never alone. And I think that's very key. And then, of course, just like in anything, there is a structure, there is a system in the body of Christ. And, you know, as I've said before in Romans 13, that, you know, all authority, you know, has been instituted by God. There is a structure in place that God desires every man, woman, boy, and girl to submit to. But the first time, like you said, that someone says something that maybe they don't like or they don't agree with, you know, it's time to pack up and move along and just use the excuse, oh, God is moving me on.
Yeah, that comes to my next question. Do you see a lot of church hoppers out there?
You know, David, I think today, you know, they say, George Barna says this in some of his stats, that 80% of church growth that is going on is what they call transfer growth. And it's not true harvest growth. And what I mean by transfer growth today is that people are just leaving one church and going just to the church down the street or across the city. And they're not really winning souls for the first time, people for the first time coming into our churches. And I think in that we see a lot of folk today, you know, they go from one church to another church, you know, to this church or that church. And I think my prayer today, you know, for the body of Christ is that we would find one church that we can get in, plant down, submit to, serve, give, love, you know, whatever it is God calls us to do, to work in those ministries. And I see that often. You know, I think that's one of the, you know, to me, that's a true flag in the air. My sensor goes off when I ask a person, well, you know, where did you come from? You know, when they come into our church, and if they hammer out like seven churches or seven different pastors, boy, I tell you, you got to know they won't be there long.
Well,
you got to know that they're
true.
Probably just kind of passing through or visiting, or you know. And the thing is, I often said, you know, if they had problems in one church that were never resolved, they'll find more problems in this next church. So I think it's very critical today that we really begin to start dealing with that issue. And you know, one of the things that the Lord showed me years ago, David, was really, it was very revelational to me, was that any time you would take a plant and you move it or you transplant it into another pot, or and you keep transplanting it, eventually that plant dies because its roots did not have a chance to go down into the soil. And I think today that's what I see. That's the danger of church hopping. And this is what God has showed me, that today when I see folk that have jumped from one church to another church, all they're doing is uprooting and going and trying to plant into another church, and their roots never get down in the soil. So somewhere down the line, where God had intended us, as it speaks of in Romans 6, to be alive in Christ, really we're dead in dead works. It's because we never really got our roots into the soil so that we could produce fruit. And I think that's the downside of, you know, of you keep moving, you keep transferring from one church to another church. And, you know, pretty soon, you know, as I've often said this, that, you know, just like you, just like myself, I have one dad, I have one mom. And I never envisioned myself having five or seven dads or five or seven moms. You know, God connects us. You know, the body is a family. You know, the body is a number of things. It's a family. It's an army. But I want to talk to you from more of a family perspective. You know, God puts leaders in the body, such as pastors, shepherds, they carry a fathering heart. And I believe that anytime God connects a person or an individual into a body, they become a part of that family. And then they eventually become a son or a daughter to some pastor or some leader in that church. And I think it's key that we're not walking around saying, oh, I've had seven dads, or I've had seven moms, and, you know, seven different pastors, seven different leaders in my life. I've always believed that God, when he puts a man in your life, and God ordains that relationship to be more of a spiritual father, spiritual son relationship, God has called that person there to grow in that house, to mature in that house, and to continue to do ministry in that house, you know, and I think there are a number of examples, you know, we can definitely look at in that area of understanding that church hopping is definitely not a healthy element to begin to adopt.
Absolutely.
I think that one of the testimonies, David, that I have in my life was the church that I grew. I've only been to two churches my whole life. I've been serving the Lord almost 20 years now. And I have the church that I grew up in as a boy, and the church that we planted about 6 years ago. Those are the two churches that I've been involved with. And that's my testimony. And I don't say that in an arrogant or a prideful way. I say that from a perspective that, you know, that's my resume. That's my strong testimony, is that, you know, I have been faithful to these men that have been in my life, and I've been committed to the work of God in these houses. And so, you know, anytime, you know, it's just like when David, the scripture teaches, slew Goliath, the very first thing that we see Saul ask Abner was very simple. He says, who is that man's father? And basically who he's saying is, who's his daddy, you know?
Yep.
And I think that, in essence, that's something we've got to learn, that every anointing, every ministry, every calling, every gifting, it's passed down from father to son. That's why we do need that spiritual authority in our life. That's why we do need that perseverance in the house, just like with Elijah and Elisha. The mantle was passed down from one generation to the next generation. Just like Moses and Joshua, it was passed down. You know, just like we see with Aaron and his sons, the anointing, the mantle was passed down. And I think that, you know, if we keep, you know, jumping from one pastor to another pastor, there's a couple of things. We never get anything passed down to us, and we never receive that deposit, that transfer. That's why we're miserable and frustrated in the ministry.
Yes,
you know,
true.
And as a matter of fact, I think some of that is that we lose identity, because that's the other thing I believe being in one church does. It gives you identity. It gives you a DNA. It gives you something that, it's just like with my dad. Hey, there are features about my physical body that I look like my dad.
Yes.
And there are features about my mother's physical body and her face that I looked like her. And it's the same way that pretty soon you can't be looking like 7 or 10 different pastors.
No kidding. That's crazy. Back to your church hopping thing there is very true. I think I liken it kind of to my wife's chili plant. It's the same way you're talking about the roots not growing. I think we took that chili plant between the first house where it was really huge, right? This thing was amazingly, right. Like everybody, like, this is an awesome chili plant. Then the second house, it looked like not as awesome. It was okay. Then the third house, it started to wilt. Now we're in the fourth house, and that sucker's dead. So I think I could take your analogy there and say, yeah, that's like, I call it my wife's chili plant sermon, and it's true. It's like it didn't have time to grow. We moved it too quick, you know, between the houses. It needed to sit down. And we're at that other house, the first house. We're there for years.
Wow.
And in the second house, we're only there for a couple of years, and then a year at the other, and then now, you know, a few months at the new one here. So that's pretty good.
I tell you, David, if you notice, that chili plant blossomed the most where it was the longest at.
Yes, that's true.
I think that's where we go back to church hopping. You know, I always say, look, people of God, listen to what I have to say. You are going to go through some things in churches. You are going to experience trials and tribulations. Matter of fact, you're going to experience things that you may not agree with, but I think that's where the test of faithfulness and patience and commitment comes into play. But just like that chili plant, like you're saying, man, it blossomed the strongest and the greatest in that first house where it was there the longest. And I think that's where today we, you know, in the church, we get impatient, you know, and we need to get back to, you know, that lost art of just letting God do the work that he needs to do in us and through us. I always say, no pain, no gain.
Absolutely, absolutely. What I like to say, and I like to think as well, I want to get your take on this, but we need to stop looking at correction as correction, but as molding, and then that's when we start to grow.
That's right. That's right. You know, I would even take that a step further, David, that correction will lead to protection in your destiny. And I think that when you come into that place where you walk in that posture and that position that, hey, if I need to be corrected, then I need to be corrected. I need to take it like a man. And I think that sometimes that when correction comes into place, it's a good test. It is a great test to see how you will you will either respond or you will react.
Yes.
And I think that we need to learn to respond from more of a godly biblical perspective and not just react and pack up and leave. But I think that in that, you know, anytime that there's correction or direction that's being given, that it's a test of our character, of our integrity. It's a test to see, okay, you know, I am growing. It's just like with a teenager or with like a child. You know, my son doesn't understand the full aspect of correction, and when I go to correct him, he starts crying and he starts yelling. My son is 3 years old, and he just starts, I mean, it just seems like he's losing it. But it's funny how today, sometimes in the church, you know, you can see those same elements happening in people that have been in the church for a number of years already. They'll start crying, they'll be upset, they'll start having a fit, you know, just a number of things that I think that today when you put those two and two together, in reality, what God is trying to get you to do when the correction is coming is trying to get us to grow up.
Amen.
And I think that, you know, we can't stay babies forever in the church. And I think, you know, as I look at that, David, that's something I never could understand, you know, but as I've begun to pastor, you know, throughout the years, I've seen people sit in the same place doing the same thing, which was nothing, and never really bearing the fruit that God called them to bear. But some of it was because they refused to be corrected. You know, they refused to come into that place. You know, it's just like the scripture teaches in the book of Hebrews that God disciplines all of his sons. And I think that in the end, he speaks of that it will produce a glory. It'll produce a harvest of righteousness. And so I think it's key. God does use those times of correction and direction, and they will lead to protection.
Amen.
So, that's my prayer today, is that we learn to endure and persevere and keep running the race no matter what is being thrown our direction. Let me tell you, it's a plan of the enemy to throw you off course through somebody.
Amen. Amen. Oops, sorry.
So I think that's, go ahead. ahead, David. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead. I think one of the audio started trying to play. I had to stop it. But
okay.
No, but just to mention, I think a lot of things is it stems to the fatherhood. You touched on it last week, but we barely even touched on it about fathers and not having authority roles at home. You touched on a lot of that. Now, how important is it to have a strong relationship with your father, if your father's still alive and stuff? How strong is that relationship going to affect the relationship you give the respect and to your leaders and everything?
Yes. Well, you know, I think, David, it is important. It's very, very important to have a healthy relationship with your mother or your father. If they are alive still today, it is very critical that you do have those relationships in place. As a matter of fact, the scripture teaches that out of the book of Exodus to honor our father and our mother so that our days can be long on the earth. And I think there's a purpose, and this is what I always say, is that honor will release blessing. And anytime you bring honor to some form of spiritual figure, spiritual authority in your life, there will be blessing will be released into your life. You know, I think that as we see, you know, that happen, you know, we can continue to walk out the destiny of our God. I think that there's a few things that when I think about the relationship I have with my natural dad, as well as with the spiritual father in my life, which is Doug Stringer, you know, I really believe that I have a lot of respect, a lot of honor there, and anytime that they need me to do something, I am more than willing to do it just because I know I want to posture myself correctly. There are things that I've learned through them, not so much in a classroom setting, but just as much as by just watching them, how they live. You know, I think that my natural dad is a hard worker, and I think I get some of my hard working ethic from him to, you know, to be self-motivated. And this is something I see a lot in our teenagers today, is that there's not a lot of self-motivation there, not even to go get a job or, you know, not even trying to go to school. There's not a lot of motivation there. And God began to show me again, and I go back to the aspect of that there is very few fathers, you know, in our young people's lives today. That's why they lack the motivation for them to actually accomplish much in their life. But if you see today that you see many of the more healthier families are that there was a father in their relationship. There was a father in the house. And I think that, you know, it's in the same aspect of any church that you go to. God has placed a spiritual father and a spiritual mother in those churches. And that spiritual father and spiritual mother are the pastors there in that house that are shepherding there in that church. So, yes, it is very key that we learn to, you know, respect, honor, you know, not only that, you know, but it's just like with Joshua, he, you know, it speaks of how he followed Moses around. The Bible says even when Moses, you know, went to go pray for 40 days, where was Joshua at? He was at the foot of the mountain. He was waiting for his spiritual father there. And I think that to me, that was one of the key reasons why Joshua was chosen to lead Israel into the promised land. It was because he was there as a faithful son in the Lord, serving his spiritual father in whatever elements he needed, you know. And I think it's very critical that we do get back to that, those alignments and those relationships that are needed. So I just encourage that whatever it takes, if it takes today, if you're listening to this broadcast, that, you know, you may not be in a proper relationship with your father or your mother. You know, I believe it's never too late to make things right, and I really believe that, you know, David, that, you know, God can change things in a day. Isaiah 66 says that God can change a nation in a day. I believe God can change a family in one day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, is it possible, even though the person that you do get underneath and you go church hopping and stuff, would you end up inheriting some of their weaknesses if you're not careful?
Yes. You know, I think that, you know, it's always important. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. And I think it's very, you know, very key today that we are always, you know, on the outlook of, you know, who we are seeing, who our relationships are, who we posture ourselves around. know, bad deposits on even how we think and how we view things in the church today. So, you know, all these things are, they can happen that way, David. So, I mean, it's very, very key. So,
amen.
You know, one of the things that, you know, before we move on, I want to say this. It was, you know, the Lord was showing me something today that it's just like, you know, we were talking about, is it good to be alone? Is it, you know, and I think this is the one thing that I see today. I see a lot of guys that, you know, they don't like something, you know, about what they're seeing in the church, so they start developing their own Bible studies or their own gatherings. And, you know, it's just like this. The Lord showed me a grape, when it is separated from its cluster of grapes, it dries up and becomes a raisin. And I think that today, that's where we, you know, we go back to the, you know, stay connected to your local church. You know, man, David, like never before, and not just because I pastor a church, I believe in the local church. I really do. I believe that it is critically important that you get in, that not only you and I, but all of the listeners that are listening today, that they get into a church, amen, and, you know, they determine to stay in that church no matter what happens in that house. They stay connected. And I even think that, you know, even sometimes listeners, they, you know, you might need to go and, you know, forgive your pastor or, you know, forgive. Because one thing that I think sometimes, you know, in the church, David, we look to our leaders like they're Superman or they're God themselves. But in reality, they're human just like us.
That's true.
And people make mistakes, you know, and they're not perfect. We make mistakes in life, and I think it's critical that, you know, we don't always, you know, come to that place where we feel like, you know, that they themselves are God, and, you know, they need to act a certain way or do things a certain way. You know, I believe there are higher standards for those who walk in the office of the pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet, or apostles, you know, but I also believe that, you know, let us never forget that, you know, there is no pastor, and I think this statement is worth, you know, everything I'm about to say is probably undergirded under this one statement. There is not one pastor, and there is not one perfect church in the world today, you know. And I think that alone should set us free of understanding. There's not one perfect pastor. There's not one perfect church. And I think that when we understand those things, that many of us, and many churches also, are a process in a place of growing and maturing. There are leaders today. I've seen, you know, David, there's a number. One of the things I've done this year that I really felt like God put in my heart was to begin to have larger settings of mentorship, and we've begun to do that 4 or 5 times this year. We've been to gather a number of pastors and leaders in our city, and we've begun to mentor them on what it would take to finish strong. And I think some of the things we're talking about today are of the aspect of, you know, can you submit?
Yes.
Can you plant down in one church? You know, can you serve the leaders God has put in you? You know, I truly believe that that when you lay your vision down and you take up another man's vision, God will see to it that your vision will be accomplished one day. I really believe that.
Absolutely.
And I think that for every church and any church that we go to, there is a vision in the house. But that's where we get division from, is that people come in and they start creating their own vision, and, you know, we get 2 visions, 3 visions in the house, and the reality is that there's really just one vision and one leader in that house, you know. So, I mean, we see the prime example of Moses. And, you know, we see that example with Miriam and Aaron when they began to complain. They were murmuring because Moses was marrying an Ethiopian woman. They were bucking up against the authority. And in the end, we know that Miriam became leprous, you know. And this is the same woman, and I want you to think about this. This is the same woman that was dancing with a tambourine in her hand when they were leaving Egypt. So that's why I always say never really be impressed with, you know, people's giftings or how loud they shout. I mean, in the next scene in Miriam's life, you hear from her, she's got leprosy all over her because she's bucking up against the authority.
That's true. That's true. Pastor, I noticed something about you and that I admire, and that's good, and it's something that I'm starting to implement in our ministry as well, and that is that you stay in very strong contact, whether it's through Facebook, Twitter, or phone calls, or texting, with all your sheep, not only your sheep, but you're also through all your friends and people you're trying to mentor. And how often should someone stay in contact like that?
You know, I think that in the aspect of staying connected, as John 15 says, you know, I always like to say from a church perspective, and then I'll talk from a personal perspective, I say go to church every time them doors are open. And, I mean, that's how you're going to keep receiving life. You know, I think that when you go to church, you know that, hey, you know, the body was created to give life, to be a life-giving church. It's one way you stay connected, you know, to your pastor or to your under shepherd there. But for like myself, how I stay really connected, you know, with my mentor, which is my spiritual father, Doug Stringer. I mean, we talk often, you know, whether by internet, by emails, by Twitter. By Twitter, I see what's on his mind. You know, he usually twitters out maybe if not every day, every other day, or every 2 or 3 days he sends messages out. But I think it's important that, you know, that that the person you're looking to pastor you or to be in some kind of leadership, you know, I think one of the tragedies I'm seeing today, David, is that people are saying, oh, that's my pastor over there, oh, that's my spiritual father over there. But in reality is their spiritual father, their authority in their lives, they only see them like maybe once a year, maybe twice a year. And, I mean, really, there cannot be no real transference or deposit or impartation happen in that person's life, maybe once or twice a year. Yeah, you'll get something in that season. But I think that there needs to be an ongoing relationship. Like with the people, the leaders in our church, I've almost made it mandatory. I said, you know what, guys, if you really want to hear from me, if you really want to, you know, have that, you know, that Hallmark touch where we're in contact with one another, you want that Midas touch to our relationship, you know, get on Twitter, because I'm on Twitter. You know, I'll send, you know, 2 or 3 messages out a day, leadership thoughts that I'm having, or leadership thoughts that of books that I'm reading or whatever. And I know just the few words I'm saying have a great impact on people's lives. You know, just the other day, one of our leaders in our church, he runs a Bible study downtown in his office with a number of his workers there. And I was in prayer that day, and I really felt like the Lord said, I want you to Twitter something out that speaks of the nature of never quitting, never stop, never give up. And so I shot it out, and he got it. And it was funny, we were having testimony night that same night, and he took the mic and said, I just want to share something. He said, you know, we were having Bible study, and I had become so discouraged. The numbers were not what they used to be, and I felt like shutting down. But he goes, but because I'm connected to my spiritual father, he's like, through Twitter, he said, I got the message, don't ever quit, don't ever stop, don't ever give up. He's like, man, I knew it was God trying to speak to me about don't stop doing what you're doing and winning souls downtown, you know, in your corporation. But, you know, so in that, David, you know, I think it's important that, you know, you find some vehicle that you can stay connected with your pastor, whether it's going to church, whether your church has a website up where they're posting constant updates, or your pastor has a blog and he's blogging, and you can continue to stay connected to your pastor through the blog, or, you know, I mean, there's so many, through Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, I mean, there's so many different ways you can stay connected today to your pastor. So really, there's no excuse of why we're not building relationships today in the body. So I think it's very, very key today that we do stay connected. I mean, like I said, with all of our leaders there at Freedom International Church, I mean, I've asked all of our leaders, and from time to time, I'll tell our church, hey, if you want more, you want to know more, you know, get on Twitter, follow me at Mike Salazar, and you will, you know, you'll get you know, some of these updates that I'm talking about. And so it's really key that you do stay connected. I mean, and I think this is a word that God is birthing today in the church, is stay connected. Don't disconnect, because anytime you disconnect, there's going to be a loss of life there. And so it's very, very key that all this is happening.
Amen, Pastor. Now, my last question I'm going to ask you, and I want you to think about it, is that as leaders, because we're not only talking to the congregation that keep church open, but we want to get something out to the actual leaders that are leading, that possibly are mentors that you can mentor and stuff. How do they get a hold of you? How do they get a hold of your organization? And also, what would you tell leaders right now? Because we're the ones that are leading these people. What are some advice to the leaders that you can give?
You know, I want to say that, and I'll save the last part of how you can make contact with me. But you know, I would say to leaders that are listening, you know, to your broadcast. I think your broadcast, David, is amazing, because I know it's touching a different culture of people. And the one thing I'm seeing today with leaders that are being raised up in the body of Christ, you know, they're what I would consider an iPod generation, and they're downloading podcasts. I mean, they're downloading you know, stuff off the internet that has to do with leadership. So I know a good portion of people that are listening to your broadcast are the future leaders in the body of Christ. And there are two things I would say to them, is that number one, they would have faith in God, and number two, they would have faith in themselves. Because I think it's very, very important that they believe that God is able to use them, has called them for such a time as this. But also they would know that God has, where God calls, he anoints, you know, and he appoints. You know, wherever he appoints, he anoints. And I think it's very, you know, very, very key, very critical that we never give up, we never quit, we never stop. Something that God has been stirring in my heart this year, David, and as I speak to the leaders that are listening to this broadcast today, that number one, never, 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 ever stop, never give up. God is never too early, he's never too late, he's always right on time. His arm is not short, and his ear is not deaf. He is faithful and true. And I think that today, that as we get that in our spirit, and I would say that it's important that we keep moving forward. You know, this is one thing I've begun to mentor into our leaders there at our church, is that there's a rhythm to your walk with God. And I think we can always tell when something is trying to sideswipe us, or something is trying to take us out of the picture, or trying to stop what God is wanting to accomplish in your life. And I think that when you start discerning those things and say, man, something is trying to block me from my next step with God. You know, Exodus 40 speaks about how God moved cloud by day, fire by night. And Israel, they were a moving people, and I think it's important that we start discerning prayerfully. Okay, why am I feel like I'm just stuck here? Why do I feel like I'm not moving forward? And I think that as we start praying about those things, sometimes God uses that per se wilderness cycle in our lives to prune out all the junk, all the garbage, get rid of all the excessive baggage, to prepare you to walk in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So I think that, you know, hey, sometimes we're stopped, we've been stopped. It's not by the devil, but it's by God. God has stopped our engine and is trying to get our attention to speak to us about how we can become more fruitful, or how we can be better prepared for what God has in store for us in the future. And I think, you know, the last thing I would say, you know, David, is to the leaders that are listening, you know, the Bible speaks of, in 1 Corinthians, it speaks of that we have 10,000 teachers in Christ, but we have very few fathers. And I think this is a twofold word today, David, that one, that if you are pastoring or leading in a church, number one, know you're not out there alone. I think that if you would say to yourself, you know, hey, Pastor Mike, you don't know my situation. I don't know anybody that can mentor me. I don't really look up to, you know, I don't really have those relationships in place. Start praying about it. Start asking God to bring you some mentors into your life. Start bringing some spiritual fathers that you can listen to. Because I think that's the tragedy today. I think, David, you know, there are people that we know in the ministry that don't really have that in their lives.
True.
And they're just kind of out there fumbling along, trying to do things. They're making mistakes. They are stumbling every time you talk to them. They're struggling. They're straining. But that's why today it's important. I think the criticalness of being able to have a spiritual father, a leader in your life, it's very important, because these people, they have blazed the trail, David, where we have never gone before. They've gone already, and they can save us a lot of time, a lot of pain, and a lot of money from trying to divert us from making any more mistakes than we need to.
Amen.
But I would also say that the second part of that word is, number one, find you a spiritual father, a mentor, or a pastor, or a leader that can shepherd your life. But number two, know this, that there are people, if you are a leader or pastor, know that people are looking to you. You know, people want to, they want your time. And I think that, as I always tell leaders, hey, you know, start discerning in your walk, in your life, you know, who are those you need to start giving your time to. The Bible even speaks very clearly about this, is that we're not to cast our pearls to swine, to pigs. You know, I think we've got to start prayerfully praying, okay, God, show me a handful of people that I can really begin to invest what you've given me. And these are people that are not going to just kind of run over all of the things God has spoken to us, but these are people that are going to take care of the revelation, the wisdom of the things. You know, I would say that today, that I think one of the dangers of leaders is that they have so much knowledge, so much understanding, so much wisdom in them, but they don't ever give it away. And I think the key to finding more is learning to give more away. And I've learned that, David, the more and more I start speaking, whether it's to leaders, forums of leaders, or over the radio broadcast or whatever, I realize the more and more God has deposited in me, the more and more I know I need to push it back out, because there are people that need it. So I think it's very, very key that we do also, you know, we find those disciples or those workers or laborers that are around us. They're dying for your attention. They're dying for you to speak into them. You know, it's just like if Jesus himself, David, if he needed, I won't say so much he needed, but it speaks of how God the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased with." You know, I believe that, you know, all leaders should carry an anointing of affirmation. You know, I believe there are three A's my spiritual father has taught me. And he said, you know, when you bring affirmation, acceptance, and approval to young emerging leaders, you'll always win their favor. And I think it's important for leaders to know that we are able to carry that affirmation about us, that acceptance, that approval. Because today, you know, I believe there are people all around us, man. I mean, the people today in the world are going through things. I mean, there are so much trial and tribulation in their lives, but I tell you how great it is when you walk into church and you have a pastor that puts his arm around you and says, "Man, son, I'm so proud of you," or, "Man, you did a great job last week ushering," or, "You did this or that." And I think that's our job as pastors and leaders, to be able to carry that anointing of encouragement, to carry that anointing of affirmation, approval, and acceptance. So I think those two things are very, very key that need to be happening today amongst leaders.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
Let me just say the last thing, David. I think it's the second part you asked me is, well, how can people make contact with me? You know, I'm encouraging, you know, from the last broadcast we had, we had a handful of people start following me on Twitter, and that's probably the best way we can stay in contact. You can reach me, go on to Twitter, sign up under Mike Salazar, and we can dialogue through that. If you want to get to know me or whatever, that's probably the best way. If you want to attend one of our services, we have services on Sundays at 10 a.m., and then we have services on Thursday night at 6:45, and the address to that is 1314 West Patton. You can't miss it. It's gonna, if you're anywhere in the Houston area, or maybe you're just visiting from out of town, we'd love for you to come out and join us for one of our services, and We know that it'll be a divine moment in your life, a divine appointment. So I'm excited to be on your show today, David. I believe there's been a lot of great content that's been pushed out today.
Oh, this is a lot, man. I've been taking notes as you've been talking, and you've given me a lot more material there to help as well.
Awesome.
Hey, it's a blessing to have you, Pastor Mike. We'll see you again next Wednesday. Is that going to be okay with you?
That'll be great. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. I've got some topics and some thoughts on my mind, you know, already about leadership and the areas that are needed today. I tell you, leadership is one of my driving passions today. I can get around other leaders or people that desire to grow into leadership. I'm telling you something, I start hitting on all cylinders. So
Amen. I'm looking
forward to it next week.
Okay, brother, we'll catch you next week. Thank you so much for coming in. Again, that's Pastor Mike Salazar with Freedom International Church. You can find Mike Salazar on Twitter. So God bless you, brother. Thank you again.
Thank you, David. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
That was Pastor Mike Salazar. That was our guest today, and he hit it right on the money, just like I was promising. I was promising that he was going to come on and that he was going to do some great things and show us some great things in leadership, and he did. He did some awesome things. I know you're not here to applause and all that, but I have a little key toy here that's called sound effects, and I can do that right now. We're going to give Pastor Mike some applause for coming in and being on our show. And we'll even give him a cheer. How about that? Amen. Amen. Well, God is good. God is awesome. We're coming close to having to put another commercial break on. We're going to do that really quick and let you hear some of these infomercials about our ministry. It won't be long. It won't be a long one. I promise you that. But thank you, Pastor Mike from Freedom International Church, for coming in and being a phone call on our show.
Hi, this is David Yannis, host of Midwatch with the Rev and General Station Manager for RevMediaNetwork.com. Just wanted to remind you to visit our main website, which is RevMinistries.com. I am the director of RevMinistries.com. We're doing several evangelistic things out there. One of them is reaching through media all the ways we can. We have books, CDs. We have an online station here. You're listening to it here on Rev Media Network. We're going to be broadcasting on television soon as well. We're making movies. We're doing everything we can to take the gospel out to the world. We also preach. We do seminars. We do healing conferences. We do relationship series. Relationship. God bless you. Please visit us at RevMinistries.com.
Amen. Amen. That was a great call. That was a great call, and Pastor Mike hits it again. He does a grand slam for us, sends it over the field, over the wall. Amen. Talking about leadership, talking about getting yourself right. I tell you what, it is hard when we start to mull and mull and mull over not wanting to sit with the church or sit under someone. It's something in you, something that you got to deal with, and we're trying to bring on some good people here that have authority in this subject to break that spirit off of you, to break the laziness off of you, and to break the hardness around your heart, and to make you reachable, teachable, and available. Right now we got a few minutes left, so we're going to do our scripture of the day. Our scripture today, brought to you by Rev Media Publishing. If you want a book, get it out in the public, get it out on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Look at RevMediaPublishing.com. Scripture today is John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I think everybody got to understand that when you find a leader and you find someone that is joining you in your walk with God and joining you in building your life and your family, it's a big thing that he has to be the good shepherd in your life, just like Jesus, the prime example of leadership, that he will lay down his life for you. Find that leader. Amen. Amen, amen. That was the scripture of the day, my friends. I want to thank Pastor Mike Salazar again from Freedom International Church for joining us on our show today. I want to thank Rev Media Publishing and Rev Media Network and Revelation Ministries for bringing this show to you. It's a big, big thing that we do every single day at 2 o'clock. I want you here. I want you on the online or on your PDAs or anywhere you're at that you can pick up our programs. I want you listening and understanding that we are here. We're here for you. We're here trying to get things made for you because we know that one thing's for sure, that God has a call in your life. That He has a call for you. And that call for you is to be a leader for God. And you need to have that leadership built strong. So tune into this station and you'll hear, have a strong relationship built with God. I promise you that, my friends. No matter what, a strong relationship built with God is important. It's very important, my friends. It's very important. So important that God has sat you at a desk and you're listening to us right now because it's important to get into your life. Well, that's our whistle for the day, my friends. Our program is about up on time. So I want to give you a thank you again and a God bless you. And we will see you next time on the Midwatch. Be sure to log in to RevMinistries.com. You can email me at David@RevMinistries.com or David@RevMediaNetwork.com. You can write us at P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Until next time, my friends, I will see you on the Midwatch. Thank you.